We do this, we need to compare notes ahead of time. Or better yet, maybe you saw my notes to my sermon as you started talking. Hopefully, what you're going to hear that I share isn't going to be so repetitive that it's boring, but it's going to be an affirmation that God desires to say something to us today. There is truly a message in the story of David and Goliath. But before we get there, I want to go back a couple of Sundays in case you weren't here in the past couple of weeks. We've been looking at Scripture regarding Israel's moments, Israel's movement in towards being moving away from being ruled by judges and prophets to being ruled by a king. Earlier in the Old Testament, God had promised Israel that they would indeed have a king. They would have a king after God's own heart. But the people grew impatient. They wanted a king, and they wanted a king now, and they wanted it primarily because they wanted to be like the other nations that were around them. They pressed the prophet Samuel to give them a king. Samuel knew it was not a good idea, and he balked at it. And he had a conversation with God, and God said, "Samuel, it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. But they have demanded it, they have requested it, so I want you to give it to them. Give him to them. But in the midst of that, I want you to give them open disclosure as to what they're asking for." So Samuel went back and did that very thing and appointed Saul king, the first king over Israel. Yet, even under Saul's rule, God used that time. He was still making way for Israel to be ruled by a king after God's own heart. And that's what we're looking at now. Even in the midst of this story, Saul is still king. But God is preparing David. God is using David as an example. God is providing a model for the Israelite people, a lesson for the Israelite people. So I want us to look at this story of David and Goliath from this perspective. And I want to begin by talking about what it meant for David to know God. If we look at the scriptures, we look back a little bit from where we began reading, and it was something that we touched on last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon David from that day forward after Samuel had anointed him." God's Spirit was there. God's Spirit was there with him from that day forward. So what David had in terms of this relationship with God was not just that he had heard stories in his family. He was aware of what God had done in history. It was a relationship. God's Spirit was on David. And we're to understand the context of that intimate knowing. It also says something in the first verse of what Mandy read in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. This is what we read. "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." David, when he was faced with this, was able to have confidence because he looked back and said, "God has taken care of me. God has done these things." And a lot of times as he looked back, he didn't take time to think. When there's an attack happening, he responds. Yet he can look back and see how God was a part of that. God was a part of that preparation. David is about to face Goliath. Everyone has told him that this is crazy, and he doesn't have a chance. I want you to think for a moment. Let's just pause. What giants are you facing today? And every one of us is facing something. Some of them might be only this big and they don't look that much like a giant really. And others, their giants that you're facing are so insurmountable, if you were to try to describe them, they would be taller than this building. But each one of us today, I'm convinced, are facing something. Is it a situation, a relationship, a barrier that seems absolutely impossible to overcome? it may very well be impossible for you to overcome such a gigantic thing alone. But I promise you that with faith and confidence in God, you can overcome your giant as effectively as David overcame Goliath. So if we were going to look and use David as a model, and we said that David knew God, what does that say to us? How do we come to know God in the way that we're intended to? First of all, let His Spirit lead you. Don't guess and try to live life the right way on your own, only to keep falling in the same ditch again and again and again. How many times have you known believers that struggle and they say they want to do the right thing, they want to get it right, and they're trying, and they really are. They're trying with everything they've got, but they seem to get no traction, and they keep stuck doing the same thing over and over again, and they want the same prayer over and over again, and there's never seems to be any traction to go anywhere. I don't believe God intends us to stay there for an indefinite period of time. Now, I'm going to tell you there are times that we want to move along quicker than what God intends us to, but that's not what I'm talking about here. But when God's Spirit is a part of us and we're seeking to grow and move and become more the person God wants us to be, that's what God desires, and His Holy Spirit will enable that. It says in the scripture that we read, that the Spirit of the Lord was upon David after that anointing. Where is the Spirit of the Lord with you? According to Scripture, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive the Holy Spirit. And if you don't believe me, go back and look at that. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. If you are a believer, Scripture says that we drink from the same Spirit. We have that type of power that's given to us, yet so often we don't rely on it. We don't allow God to be connected to us in that way. God's there wanting it. He yearns for it. But we have to know God in order to be able to face the giants that we're talking about, or we're going to continue to fall in that ditch again and again and again. The second part that we can learn from David is to consider what God has done in bringing you to the place you are now. And if you go back and look at your past week, at your past month, at your past year, I'm convinced, even if you haven't done it before now, and you ask God to reveal it to you, He will. And you will see how God has been moving in your life. Whether it's been the good things, whether it's been the challenging things, whether it's been things you couldn't even imagine God was a part of, God is there working in your life. Take time to notice in a way that it gives you knowledge of who God is, specifically in your own life. The second thing I want to look at, what's talked about in Scripture here, is that we consider what's on the inside. Verses 38 and 39, we read this. Then Saul dressed David with his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he wasn't used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off. Saul put on David's armor. Why did he put on David's armor? Because it was assumed he needed protection, and it was probably assumed that Saul's armor was the best armor around. And so this is what was needed if he was going to face something like this. The problem was that was Saul's armor, and David was not Saul. How often do we seek to accomplish something, not as the way that God leads us to, but as though that we're someone else, other than who God gave us, other than who God created us to be? We gird ourselves like David did with Saul's armor initially. We gird ourselves with whatever seems to make us more presentable on the outside. We put on a good face to fool people. maybe even to try to fool ourselves, to make us think that we've got everything under control and everything's going to be okay. Mandy shared with you something about the difference that the small group made in her life. As you talked about, without giving specific details, that there are things within the small group, and it's not only in the small group Mandy is a part of now, but in many of our small groups, it's an opportunity to share in a way, and it's not airing your dirty laundry. It's not trying to see who can come up with the most hideous story of what they're suffering. But it's building a relationship with people to the point that you can share really what your life is like at that point. And I want to tell you, there's one of the small groups that I'm a part of is a men's prayer breakfast that meets weekly. And this has been going on for several years now. And many of the guys in this group have gotten to the point, every one of those guys, I promise you, within the past few months has shared a genuine challenge that they face in their life. A giant, so to speak. And as we do that, we pray for each other, we encourage each other, and we don't just do it at that prayer time. We interact with each other throughout the week, and we ask each other what's going on, and we send texts to each other of where we are and the things that are happening. And you know, together, we're able to face giants, and we don't have to do it alone, but all the power of God is able to be shared through the love that we have for each other. We don't put on a pretend face like everything is okay. We have to be true to what's on the inside. Another thing that happens, not just putting on the good face, is we tend to try to throw money at the problem. We live in a world where a lot of times we feel like money can fix anything. And to me, a lot of times what we're doing with the giant that we're facing, we're throwing money in it in such a way as though we're trying to fix a car. And so this car that's not doing what it's supposed to, we pay lots of money to get a new paint job. We spend lots of money on new alloy rims that are going to make it shine, when really what it needs is a new set of spark plugs. And that same thing can happen in our lives. We're so worried about what it looks on the outside. If we just get it looking like it's supposed to on the outside, then it's going to function like it's supposed to, when we really need to pay attention to what's going on inside. And we need to be honest about that. And we need to know God. And we need to make God a part of that, instead of trying to look good and take care of it ourselves. We live in a self-help culture. There's self-help books, self-help websites, and really what we need, instead of our self-help, we need God's help. And we need to be willing to go there, to humble ourselves. Brian, where's Brian? He's right here. Brian Orock, several months ago, was helping to lead. He helped lead for several weeks a study for our children based on Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 18. It was on the armor of God. And all of you children who are here, this is going to be very familiar. In fact, you could probably come up and share this as well as I can, because I know how much you learned from it. And we play Bible baseball with it, and you know the answer. So for you all, this is going to be a review. But just be patient with me while I talk to your mom and dad, okay? This is the scripture we looked at. Therefore, put on the full armor of God. Instead of the armor like Saul had, instead of the armor that isn't going to accomplish what God wants, we put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, when we have to face our giants, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt first of truth buckled around your waist. Truth is not relative. And we live in a world where people try to say it is. And if you are willing to stand on the truth, and sometimes standing on the truth isn't easy, because sometimes it's easier just to nudge a little bit, or to just not exactly live on the truth in order to get by with something. But I tell you, if you stand firm on the truth, it will help you in beginning to face your giants, because then those giants can't cause you to compromise what you know is right. Second, the truth, the belt of truth buckled around your waist, the breastplate of righteousness in place. And the way we described it with the children, righteousness was right living, or change in action to be what God wants it to be. That's the type of person God desires us to be. We can't do it on our own. It requires that relationship. Righteousness is right living, or most of the time, most of us at some point have to be willing to change to come into that place of righteousness. And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Readiness means that we need to realize that God regularly is speaking to us. God regularly has a purpose and direction God wants us to go. And sometimes those giants are put there, and it seems like those giants are going to keep us from going in that direction. But we need to realize that we need to respond to what God's doing and not necessarily avoid the giants, not necessarily give in to the giants, but be ready for what God calls us to do. And then it continues to talk about the gospel of peace. Now, you know, when you're about to face a giant, it's not an easy thing. It's a struggle. You sometimes don't have the confidence. You have fear. Many of the things Mandy was talking about that she was facing. But if we know the gospel, if we understand Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, died on the cross for our sin, he paid that price, and that he has conquered death, and not only death, but he has power over sin. Any giant that we face, God is more powerful than that giant. And because of that, we can have peace and assurance that can only come from our relationship with him. And beyond that, in addition to this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. We have to have faith in Jesus Christ. We have to continue to live in a way that we understand God can accomplish and do things through us and in our lives that we can't understand, we can't expect. Take up the helmet of salvation. We can't have any of this if we don't accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And if you haven't, there'll be an opportunity for you to do that at the end of the service today. And this armor can be yours. And it's the most valuable thing you can have through your relationship with Jesus Christ to enable you to face those giants in your life. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of the Lord. The Holy Scriptures, the living Bible. This isn't just a bunch of print that we pay $30, $40 for. This is the living Word of God that speaks to us as we read it and we're open to hear it. And again, it will speak specifically to the giants that you're facing. So, my next question here was, as David was about to face this giant, he was hearing different voices. Who was it that was speaking to David? First of all, there's the naysayers. There are those, there were family, friends, people around him who were saying, it doesn't make sense, you can't do this. They were speaking in terms of what makes sense according to the situation and the world that they live in. And all too often we're surrounded by people with that are giving us advice. They look at it and they aren't necessarily trying to sway us from what God wants to do, they think. But what they're doing is say, you got to do what makes sense, man. That ain't going to work out right. And we have to realize that that's not the voice we need to listen to. A second voice, Saul, was a well-meaning, overprotective, and at this time not so faithful authority figure. He was an authority figure, and the scripture says we're supposed to respect authority appropriately, and David did that. But at the same time, this who was David's king was giving him his armor. It made sense. He was trying to help him in the best way he knew how. But David understood that in the midst of that, he was still supposed to place God first and hear God first in the midst of what Saul was saying. We're to do the same thing when we hear those types of voices. Another voice he heard was also that of Goliath. In the scripture we read, and you can go back and look at it yourself, Goliath taunted David. You puny, pitiful excuse for a human being. You really think you can come and face me? I'm going to rip you apart and feed you to the animals. That's what Goliath's saying. If David had listened to that, if David had given credence to that, what would he have done? He would have ducked tail and run. You know, Satan does the same thing to us today. Through the giants that we have, Satan tries to convince us it's impossible. Satan tries to convince us it's not worth it. Satan tries to convince us we don't have what it takes. Satan tries to convince us that God doesn't care enough about us or isn't powerful enough or hasn't shown up enough for us to have the ability to trust him. That's what Satan wants to say. And sometimes, even as believers, we give in to Satan's voice. But we are to hear God's voice. And God speaks. When we hear God's voice, we're able to experience what David experienced. He experienced confidence and victory. When you know God and hear God's voice and experience the movement of God's Holy Spirit, it gives you confidence and victory. It is yours to claim. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 49. The last verse. I invite you, if you've got your Bibles, to turn to it so we can look at it together. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down on the ground. I stand here as your friend and your pastor. I don't need to know what your giant is. You may struggle even to put it in words yourself, but you know there's a struggle that you're facing. I'm telling you, with God's power, you can today, whether it happens today, well, whether it's preparation like what Mandy was talking about for the fight that's yet to come, you can and will conquer this giant through the power of God Almighty if you're willing to give it to him. So I ask you today, are you going to do that? It will change your life. Scripture says so. You know, the story of David and Goliath is one of the most popular Bible stories I think ever heard. There's so many people who've never stepped foot in a church that if you ask them, they still know who David and Goliath is. You know why I think it's so popular? I think it's because every one of us faces so many giants in our life that we need to know this story. But don't just know it in terms of there was a little boy named David and there was a Goliath, and because he did that, we can have hope somewhere that God's going to take care of us. Hear what the scripture says to you specifically today. And the steps you need to take today, the steps the Holy Spirit is leading you in today, one step at a time, to face that giant that you're not sure how to face. Claim the hope. Claim the promise. Claim with confidence the victory that God desires to give. And be an example for so many others that are trying to figure out how to face their challenges. I invite our musicians to come, and we're going to have a time of invitation. And what this time of invitation is, I stand here and I offer it every time because as a pastor of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want every time if someone has a desire to know God or to know God more clearly, I would yearn to begin that conversation with you. It may not be something we can stand here and have right now, but I give you an opportunity to come and I will pray with you, and if we need to, we can continue that conversation however we choose to. There are others of you who already have that relationship, but you know you're not where God wants you to be. I would love to pray with you about that too. And prayer makes a difference. In fact, boys and girls, do you remember I talked about the different parts of the armor, but what's the part of the armor that comes right after that isn't always listed? What is it? Prayer. Exactly. Prayer is powerful, and you need to know that, and you need to believe that, and you need to claim that today. I would love to pray with you. You don't have to come through me. I don't have any more ability to talk to God than you do. You can come and kneel at this altar. You can pray where you are, but when you make a stand, you're standing before God in the face of Satan and making a claim that gives you an ability to take one more step towards that giant. Don't just say that. Respond as God would lead. Stand together. We're going